This appears to be my second chance.
Why?
Money.
What happened about looking after your friends?
My father paid off all my debts. It left him penniless. The disgrace nearly killed him. Now, I have a chance to make my peace with him.
Are you the one who gets to pull the trigger?
I deliver you. I lead them out of the desert.
You took the word of Kilkenny. And these two.
He has half the money now. Monsieur Galgani will honor the rest.
Honor.
Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast where we double back on the movies that impacted us growing up as 90s kids and decide whether they hold up today or best left in the past. I'm Tristan.
And I'm Greg, as you know me. It would be different if I joined the Foreign Legion. More on that later.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
It might be Craig. How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You're looking very, like, I was going to say Kevin Federline, but not just more because you're like in a studio. You're in your house is like a studio now. It's so cool.
Just because we've got the brick. The brick does a lot of heavy lifting, man, quite literally.
It's exposed. Yeah. You got the drum roll there?
Yeah.
Or a stoot. You can have a stoot. You pick. You're the buttonman now.
Wow.
With great buttons become – has
zero responsibility. Yeah.
It's a very fetching – very exposed brick wall.
Yeah, I'm in the lounge room today, not the bedroom, because the bedroom's occupied by my hungover wife.
Yeah. Ah, get one in there.
Yeah.
I love not being hungover when my wife's hungover, except it happens like but once a year.
Yeah, same pretty much. And I get the worst hangovers of anyone, so like I really can't say too much. But I will. I shouldn't say too much, but I do.
You got to take those opportunities.
That's rare.
Yeah, you got to jump all over them.
Yeah.
We only get one shot at that, so we've got to wedge a year's worth into it.
Exactly.
That's the logic, if you're listening.
I'm going to
like, don't listen anymore so that we can say whatever we want about our wives.
Exactly.
We've got the classic you're drinking beer, I'm drinking coffee dynamic. I think this has to be our dynamic, doesn't it, really?
Like, I guess so.
It doesn't work so well the other way.
It almost... Yeah, it can.
It can.
We should try that.
We should try it. I don't mind. I'm probably better in the mornings. There's less, but I'm easy. Whatever. We can see what happens.
We can see what happens.
It's our show.
Man, we're in the throes of bad Van Damme movies for the next 10 weeks. Or no, 100 weeks. Literally the next 100 weeks. I looked at what the next 10 are after this one. I'd be surprised if you've heard of one of them. I'll read about the next 10. And, you know, we do Jean-Claude Van Damme movies every 10 episodes. So this is literally, we're not going to get through these for the next 100 weeks. Mm. So there's obviously today we're doing Legionnaire. Then in 10 weeks' time we'll be doing Universal Soldier, The Return, which actually I'm into that one.
Yeah.
But then it's just all direct-to-video. Inferno, Replicant, The Order, Derailed, In Hell, Narco, Wake of Death, Second in Command, and The Hardcore. Core spelled C-O-R-P-S.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's nice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That one might be good. I think it's a Sheldon Letich. So you never know, but so was this. And, well, we'll get into that, won't we? Mm. 1998. We're still in 1998, Greg.
Yeah.
If you can believe it.
I'm going to go reverses. Big year for movies. Big year for the Clintons.
Oh, the Clintons.
And, of course, one Monica Lewinsky. That was the Lewinsky scandal year.
Was it? Fuck. Yeah, wow.
One of the most quoted or impersonated lines in presidential history.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
There you go.
There it is. That was the line?
Yeah.
Hell, I've done it with pigs. That was on The Simpsons, that line. It's a weird line.
Hard on old Bill, yeah,
it was. There really was no subtlety whatsoever.
It's a lousy thing to say. Well, I'm a lousy president. It was a big year. He obviously denied all the claims. There was another lady, Paula Jones, who he worked with in his time as a senator, also going after him. And she got dismissed, but then undismissed, I guess.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Monica, she's had a – it was an interesting life. I actually saw her speak at a ad conference. Tristan.
Yeah, she spoke in Cannes one year too.
Yeah, she's reinvented herself.
Yeah,
as a activist, an anti cyberbullying activist, I would perhaps would call her. Does that sound about
yeah?
Right?
Fair enough.
Is that what she was doing
this
for
is,
you?
Yeah.
Well, is that the speech? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't see it though, but it is interesting because like the premise of this podcast, I don't know if we've done many movies that depict such a cultural shift. Like in 1998, she was very much the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if it happened now, she'd surely be the victim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which you could argue would be correct.
Yeah. It would be pretty easy to argue that.
Yeah. It's probably an easier argument given his track record.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. Big year for the Clintons. It's it's funny to look back on previous stuff. I didn't know how an impeachment works. There was obviously a lot of talk about impeachment when Trump was in power, and I was like, what does that mean? I didn't want to ask anyone. so he did get impeached, but then he got re-peached or something, unpeached,
unpeached, yeah,
unpeached,
outpeached.
He was outpeached. As I understand it, I'm not very good with politics. Very entertaining stuff, though, from a distance.
Yeah, yeah. Just getting the highlights is always a bit of fun.
What with all the confessions and denials and such, and the conflicting, the conflicting commentary.
Yeah,
that they put out there very seriously. It makes me think maybe sometimes they lie.
Right? Just maybe. Like,
did you ever think about that?
Yes, very much so. You know, the earth is flat. Australia, birds aren't real.
Oh, birds aren't real. That's got to be the favourite at the moment, right? can you give us a quick recount on Birds Aren't Real for our friends that haven't heard that one yet?
Well, so all the birds you see, they're not real. They're robots. They're all surveillance.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a baby bird, a baby pigeon?
Yes.
Really makes you think.
So the story goes that the birds have been bit by bit replaced by the powers that be.
Yeah.
To be mobile, well, they're drones, really.
Yeah.
To keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
So I think about that next time you're looking at a bird.
Yeah, next time you're eating chicken. Hey, did you watch the new Mike Myers TV show on Netflix?
No, I did see
That's where I learned about this. That's why it's top of mind for me to talk about that.
Okay. I can't keep up with your viewmanship.
I don't know if I could recommend that show yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Mike Myers. It's good to see him back doing something.
Yeah, I want to like this show.
What's the premise?
It's called The Pentaverate, and it's basically like
you've lost me.
Conspiracies, and he plays five members of this secret society that – No, I don't really know much more than that at this point. But he plays like those five characters plus almost every other character.
Okay. So you've gone from no Mike Myers to all the Mike Myers.
Yeah, but actually I'm pretty sure it's one-man like show. Technically a spin-off of So I Married an Axe Murderer. I think there's like a line in that movie that refers to this. So there's some connected universe happening there.
Sounds like a bit of a passion project.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good segue to Legionnaire. So, yeah, just a reminder, the member berry this week is Bill Clinton's
semen.
Semen.
Mm. Wait, that's the wrong sound. I meant that in agreement, not but it sounded like
I took that as delicious. This is why we don't talk about presidential semen too often on the show.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
slippery topic.
It's a sticky topic.
Big
year for scandals.
Big year for movies, Greg.
What did we have in 98? I can't even remember.
You had Armageddon.
Armageddon impeached.
Saving Ryan's Privates, Godzilla, There's Something About Mary, A Bug's Life, Deep Impact, Mulan, Dr. Dolittle, Lethal Weapon 4,
Ants.
Shakespeare in Love, Knock Off.
Oh.
And a little movie that didn't even make it into the box office as it was direct-to-video called Legionnaire. Il avait de grands yeux très clairs, où parfois passaient des éclairs, comme au ciel passaient des orages. Il était plein de tatouages que j'ai jamais très bien compris. Son coup portait pas vu, pas pris. Sur son cœur on lisait personne. So it was released on home video in December of 1998. The first, I believe the first joint to go direct to video. Wouldn't be the last. That's for damn sure.
For Van Damme sure.
Budget of $35 million. I'm not sure how much money it made in cassette sales. No. You know what? There's not much disclosed about this film.
Well, including how to watch it.
Man, you just remind me, of course, we've got to give a shout out to friend of the show.
Yes.
Shout out to friend of the show, Ben King, for sharing a digital copy that he happened to have.
Keeping us ticking. Thank you, Ben, for keeping us going.
Not the first time.
Yeah.
He also gave us the quest. So I don't know if he's just a big fan of the Jean-Claude subgenre of prestige trash. prestige epic journeys and such. But he's a legend nonetheless, and he's a photographer. So if you have any photography needs, Ben King Photography is your man.
Where is he?
You can follow him on Instagram at Ben King Photography.
Which city is he in?
He's in Canberra.
There you go, nation's capital.
As an architecture and interior specialist when it comes to photography. So
Hit
him up. Big nice. Friend of the show.
We salute you, Ben.
We salute you. Thank you very, very, very much. Well, I won't say thank you too much because it's a bit of a slog watching this thing. Rotten Tomatoes, critic score of 29%, audience score of 30%.
Consistent.
Yeah. Was this a big one for you, Greg?
It was not.
Yeah.
I thought this came out, you know what, if before we'd gone on this little quest, as it were, I always thought that this was one of his earlier films.
Me too.
Yeah.
Looking at the next 10 like that, I would have thought this was really in the core, I don't know. I get it mixed up with The Quest too. I think I talked about that on that episode.
Well, there's some overlapping. I mean, it's not his first time involved with the Legion, of course.
Yeah.
He escapes the Legion when his brother gets set on fire in Lionheart /
I was trying to remember which one it was. Yeah, okay, it was Lionheart.
And then Bloodsport, he's obviously in the army. It's a little different, but, you know, there's kind of similar. Yes, you know, we can be forgiven for thinking this was an earlier film.
Yeah.
Until you watch it, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, I probably have seen this, but it didn't really ring many bells. I didn't do a plot synopsis, you know, like a guess, because I thought I'd seen it.
Yeah, same. But not a big movie for me either. I feel like I remember the trailer. I don't know. No, maybe I don't even remember the trailer. I think until we watched The Quest recently, I had them completely mixed up in my head. I was expecting some fight tournament of some sort. But anyway, we'll get into that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's his superpower, man.
Like, what are we here for?
Where's it kicking? There's no kick. Oh, okay, well, sorry, I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. Why don't I get into a very short and sweet origin story?
Yeah.
Origin story.
Okay, Okay, so we're in a we're entering a new era, Jean-Claude Van Damme films. We're 10 years after Bloodsport now. We're about 4 years after Street Fighter and Time Cop, which were peak in terms of box office. Mm-hmm. Maybe not critic scores necessarily. Time Cop maybe an apex of the average of the two, at least.
I think that's what we're learning.
Yeah.
Or have learned.
Yeah, and then there's been a bit of a slippery slope post that. So Sudden Death, while quite a solid traditional lap pack picture, was kind of the first significant decline in box office, followed by The Quest, followed by Maximum Risk, followed by Double Team, followed by Knock Off, all in a very steady decline. Not a super steep one, but the trend line is very clear here, people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately we're now entering the straight-to-video zone, which it's going to be interesting to learn about. But I guess in terms of origin story, I've had to read between the lines a little bit, and part of me thinks that, you know, there is a story by credit here for JC along with Sheldon Lettich. And, you know, Sheldon, obviously Bloodsport, Double Impact. We're Sheldon fans,
mm-hmm.
and some of his better pictures are with Sheldon. But
he's probably a man of his word.
But yeah, I wonder. I don't know if there's like he's obviously chasing something with The Quest and this film. It, like he's trying to chase some sort of legitimization.
Yeah,
you know, like we'll get to the JCVD test, and he basically doesn't do any of the things that he usually does. So it's.
Do you see his butt though?
Do you? Damn it. I missed it.
How?
I don't know. I got pretty distracted watching this movie. Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
But interestingly, I mean, having said that, I could be completely wrong because his original idea for this film was to make it a comedy.
Yeah.
With a John Candy type as his sidekick, yeah. Which I think is a much better idea. A much better idea. He'd be good at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with fucking Schneider again. Even with Rob Schneider. I found that I think my favorite Schneider role is Lat Pack sidekick.
Oh, yeah? Like Judge Dredd?
Like Judge Dredd, Demolition Man, Knock Off. He was very tolerable in those environments. I don't know if he was enjoyable.
You don't like him as a carrot?
I didn't, or a stapler. They're just not my, or a hot chick or a gigolo. Yeah. Two of those were real.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, there's not much to this origin story other than the story by there. Sheldon and someone else wrote the script. Sheldon didn't direct though. Another guy named Peter McDonald did.
Yeah, what's with that?
I think Sheldon was supposed to direct, but then he dropped out or something. But I don't think it was anything bad because Peter McDonald was a director of Rambo 3, which Sheldon Lettich co-wrote with Stallone. So I guess they're collaborators or something.
Maybe he had some place to be.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd like an astute for that.
The fuck out of there.
It's very astute on your part.
It is crazy though. You know, like we both said that we thought this was older. And just thinking about a film like Armageddon that came out the same year as this film, it just seems, they seem like such worlds apart, don't
well,
they?
Well, it's like one's like 80 years older than the other. Yeah.
Some good maths there. Very well done. It's like Pocahontas and Toy Story all over again.
Both classics. You mean both classics?
Yeah. I was really hoping to find in the origin story that, you know, like how Top Gun was funded by the Navy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping this was like branded content to join the Foreign Legion. Don't know if it succeeded.
It's expensive. Expensive. $35 million of branded content.
Join us and die.
And have a hard time before you die.
Yeah. And you know what? On that note, that's all I bloody got on this bloody. Look, I mean, I guess this is going to be one of those episodes because there's not much out there.
We'll just fill in the gaps, Tristan. We're cultural archaeologists.
I guess so.
We're going to mine.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, I always feel like, I feel like it's a good episode when there's a couple of nuggets that I've never heard discussed before that we discussed.
I love
like,
nuggets.
Yeah, we've contributed some nugs. This is a nugless meal. It's tricky.
I got heaps of nugs in my freezer. I bulk bought them.
Oh, yeah.
They're very good. Vic's Meats Nugs.
Oh.
They're like those days when you get better McNuggets than normal. They're like those all the time.
You just throw them in the air fryer, side note.
Threw them in the air fryer.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's handy.
Yeah. I don't know how many of the kids are going to get.
None. Fucking none.
Anyway.
Bish, bash, bosh. You got yourself a movie, Rap Party, The Viper Room. Let's play the trailer.
A word of advice.
Oh, I forgot that guy, isn't it?
I suggest you keep one last bullet in your pocket.
He's in Beverly Hills Cop.
Not for your enemy, but for yourselves.
They were strangers in a strange land.
It always struck me as rather odd that a man can be glorified for pillage and murder, but ostracized for dishonor.
They were soldiers in a brutal army.
It's about surviving. All we got is each other.
There is no one they can trust but themselves.
This is the Legion! You march! Or you die!
But a brutal war is about to make them comrades for life.
The Legion is a family!
Don't tell me about the Legion!
This is a great trailer for the pod. Apologies.
I think you can visualize it.
Yeah. Lots of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Staring.
Squinting.
You will all love the Legion with one body, with one heart, and with one soul.
In Bart's soul, in Maggie's soul.
Man, that's a pretty good trailer. I mean, relative to, you know, what it's representing, like that's solid. That makes it look as good as it can. In watching that trailer just then, I'm thinking about it being a comedy again, and it just should have been a fucking comedy because it's loaded with cliches. And I think he couldn't do it then, but I think he can now. Van Damme is great in these comedies where he plays it really straight, like Jean-Claude Van Johnson. And it could be like the Naked Gun of period epics, you know? Why not? And he played all his friends die, like everyone can still die and it can be hilarious.
It's clear space, man.
Anyway, I mean, that trailer was, I think it did the best of what it could in terms of selling tickets.
It was very visual.
I'm not saying too much, but this is a podcast and people need to know what the fuck happened in this movie, Craig.
Yeah, we need some words.
Yeah, could you give us some words?
Yeah, I'll give you some words. Look, Tristan, you'd have to say this is a classic tale of on the runism. Legionism,
oh, yeah.
Sacrifice, ego, all the classic tropes. I think above all, it is a tale of mateship, of camaraderie. And Tristan Webster Dictionary defines camaraderie as one who shares the same room. Hence, a close companion from the French word camarade, chambermate.
Interesting. I always thought it was Russian, like from comrades.
Yeah.
Language is a funny thing.
I think they took hold of it, yeah. The socialists really like that word. But it does mean to share the same room, and these men do share the same room. Alan Lefebvre is a prize fighter living in a Gatsby-esque 1920s Marseille. There's can-can dancers. There's tuxedos. And, of course, prize fighting.
Yeah.
Parlez-moi d'amour. Redites-moi des choses tendres.
And he is asked, nay, told by a evil promoter to throw a fight, and he will line his pockets with silver.
Mm.
But he has a change of heart, Alain Lefebvre. He proves himself early to be a man of principle. So he decides to do the old Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction and just not take the dive, but take the money and run. And plan is to run off to America, with his girlfriend, who he is deeply in love with.
And become a movie star.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
It would have been cool. It's a sliding doors moment, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Leaving his girlfriend in the hands of this evil mobster, he flees and runs comically into the office of we don't know what it is, but it turns out it's the recruitment room for the Legion. So he's like, yeah, sign me up and get me out of here. So then he goes off and joins the Legion and makes some friends and some enemies and learns a lot along the way.
Yeah. I mean, the real Legionnaire are the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, well, that's it. The Legionnaires of our hearts and such.
Yeah. All the friends that died along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. There seemed to be a fair bit of dying. The friends you meet will be the biggest cliches of, the globe.
Yeah.
You could have a fast-talking African-American. You can have a romantic Italian. what else do we have in there?
British jerk. Just joking, 12%. We love you.
But he was a British jerk.
He was a British jerk.
Yeah, he turned out to be the biggest jerk of all. He double-crossed him for money.
Oh, root of all evil.
Anyway, that's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
What did you think of it, Tristan? I can't tell.
I didn't like this movie. this is the first Jean-Claude Van Damme movie we've done that it was just hard to get through.
Mm.
I watched half of it in one night, last night, and then, no, last, yeah,
and
last
I got
night.
The other half on right now.
And I honestly watched the second half, and it's not a long movie. I had 40 minutes left and I watched it probably over 2 hours.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Because I kept thinking, no, I wasn't paying attention. I need to watch it. So I kept rewinding it and stuff. So, which obviously, it's not a great experience. So I probably made the film even worse than it is. But it was a slog, man. I mean, just honestly, it's the first time that's, because usually in a Jean-Claude Van Damme film, even if it's terrible, it's enjoyable because it's full of all the stuff we love, and it just becomes even more fun on a different level. But this one, it was just a boring movie that Van Damme happened to be in.
Yeah, and he was like, it's interesting that I think that comedy, he obviously wanted it to be the comedy. It wasn't.
Yeah.
He looked like he was upset by that because he just doesn't really act in this thing. He just keeps his mouth shut and goes through the motions.
Yeah. I will say, though, 1998, he's at the point now where his face has a lot more character. And so he can get away with just kind of not doing much and look like he's acting because he's looking more interesting, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So aesthetically, he looked... I don't know if it's his acting, but I'd say he looked good in this movie. Like he had some good emotional moments. Other than that.
Yeah. It's a tough one. The comedy thing must have still partly been in the script. Like I kind of alluded to it in that synopsis. When he runs into that, like just stumbles into the recruitment room when he's on the run and then joins the Legion and kind of just leaves, forget about the, that's like comedy, right?
Yeah, that feels like a Paulie Shore movie.
When I say comedy, I mean Paulie Shore comedy.
Well, yeah, I mean the best kind.
Yeah, the best kind. Runs into a dome, a biodome. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that was that's not from the script of a drama period piece.
No.
What about his girlfriend? He just left her. What happened to her? Did she survive? I can't remember.
She did. The English guy tells him at the end.
Oh, he goes, oh, yeah, she survived.
She's fine.
I reckon she would have got put on the needle and become a prostitute for that evil man.
Ouch.
Is that a bit dark?
That is dark. We don't even have a button for that.
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm not going to do ooey.
There's no button you can use.
They're all terrible.
But, okay, let me lighten that up. But then, what's his name? Liam Neeson comes and saves her. There you go.
But also, like, he's an asshole because he could have just thrown the fight. Like, what kind of honor is he upholding? You know, like, he could have thrown the fight and left with his girl.
Yeah, he was going to get paid heaps. He's like, I'm going to pay you more than you've ever been paid.
Yeah,
it's a pretty fair deal, you know.
Yeah, you fucked this yourself. You were too proud.
You got nothing,
and now your wife and all your comrades are paying the price for your fucking pride, mate.
Exactly, and comrade means men roommate. Who sleep in the same room. You know, so yeah. All your lovers.
Yeah, all of you. Yeah, exactly. Umbrella. All the lovers are hurt.
Well, it was the swinging 20s of Marseille. It was basically an orgy, they say.
I've heard that.
Do you know what is interesting, apparently?
Yeah.
The war that they went off to fight, the Rif War. The actual, apparently that's in history a fascinating kind of battle.
Oh, yeah. It was fascinating in this.
Yeah. So I'll just... Top very top line, there's those guys on the running around on the horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the Moroccan Berbers. So there's like little tribes, I guess they're like little sovereign, you know, dudes that do their own thing. Some legend like united them, all the little tribes, to fight against Spain. And then you had some guy on the rise in the Spanish army who turned out to be a dictator in due course, but it was his like rise was fighting this tribe. Like, apparently it's a fascinating and really cool battle. But we didn't get to see much of that.
Yeah, it's like
of which we
they
saw
take
nothing.
One of the most interesting things and then they don't use any of it.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, they could have done all kind. They could have done a Dances with Wolves kind of take where he, you know, gets captured and then has empathy or something.
Becomes a barber. Berber?
Yeah.
Berber?
No, a barber.
A barber for the Berbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Berber barber.
Yeah.
I went Berber barber and you went Barber Berber.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Keep going.
We're doing well. 44 minutes.
See, that would have been good in the comedy version. Because actually, yeah, before I even knew that he did the comedy thing, as this started, I was reflecting on this and the quest and I was thinking his prestige epic journey movies, like this and the quest, they're like one degree off being just straight up parody of like Oscar bait movies.
Yeah.
All the cliches, like you said, his circle of mates were just one stereotype from each country. Like they all die almost – again, comically so. It's also on the nose that you can see each death coming a mile away because, you know, they'll have an emotional moment and you're like, okay, well, fuck, he's dead.
Yeah.
It has every cliche of a friend dying pretty much.
Do you reckon when they're reading the scripts, you know, like this is pretty emotional. Next page, my character's dead for sure. You're like, yeah, there he goes.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was watching it with the JCVD test in mind and, you know, his mate dies in the very beginning and I thought, oh, yeah, so that's the friend that's going to die in this one and, that, you know, seeking revenge for a fallen loved one and all that.
Mm.
And then like 10 more people die.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But there were some good little nuggets in the casting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two key actors spring to mind for me. First, Adebisi himself from Oz.
Yeah.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaji.
That'll do.
Pretty sure that's
– He's a,
sure
he's
a, I've been practicing
he's a
that.
Scary presence in Oz, isn't he?
Man, he is all time in Oz. Yeah. And he's one of those guys, like if we were podcasting back then, I would have said him. He's the guy. He's going to be the breakout of this show.
Yeah.
And he's been in lots of stuff, but he wasn't really the guy. Like a lot of people from that show, J.K. Simmons for one. But yeah, he's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Apparently he was nearly Black Panther back in 2009 when they were exploring potentially making a Black Panther
film.
Yeah.
Speaking of sliding doors.
Yeah. And he's English.
Yeah.
He's got a fascinating story. He moved to Hollywood to become a singer. Moved to Hollywood to become a singer, but became an actor and model instead. Classic, similar experience to me moving to New York. he has a law degree. And he's just made a movie called Farming, which is based on his own experience growing up in the UK. And I've got a little clip of him talking about it with none other than Queen Latifah for some reason. I guess she has a TV show. But I was watching a bunch of interviews with him and he's an interesting dude. But this one, he summarizes it all. So I thought, why not play a clip?
Congratulations on the script about your life sold and being made as a movie. I'm excited about that.
Thank you.
But you have such an interesting story. Now, this is great because you have such an interesting story. Can you just give people a couple of pieces of it? I started to call you Adewale Esquire. Did y'all know he has a law degree as well? Yeah. Who goes to all that school and then says, hey, I'm going to do my acting thing? But just give people a little bit of a couple points about your life.
Well, the screenplay is based on my life, and it really just documents a period of time in England where the African immigrants first came. And what my parents from Nigeria used to do, which was they would foster their children or farm their children out to white working class families because they couldn't look after them while they were working and study at night and in the day. And I was fostered to a white family couple in a southeastern part of England, which was notoriously racist and very violent. And we were the first black children they'd ever seen. So it was a real struggle to grow up there and, you know, and just fighting and being persecuted most of the time. Every time just getting to school was a daily battle. But the story shows is how this child manages to, you know, he joins the local gang, which was run by skinheads. He found his own place in that, but at the same time was able to get out of that world. And my natural parents, by the time I was a teenager, they'd become educated. My father became a barrister. They put me with another family and paid for my education. And that's where the bachelor's degree came in and the master's degree came in. And that's what I was able to get. It was my passport to freedom because he said it's either that or you go back to Nigeria. Mm. And I wasn't intended to go back then. So,
what a baller. Was he wearing leather pants there?
Was he? He's wearing those pants like he's doing him a favor.
Fucking, what a legend. Only he's problem a cool is man. He's an Arsenal fan.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, he grew up in Essex. I thought maybe West Ham, but whatever.
Toasty! Yeah. I watched the whole other interview where he's talking about the skinhead thing, like basically the local gang with skinheads. And he was terrified of going out and his foster dad was like, fucking just get out there, mate. Like, don't be a pussy, basically.
Yeah.
Like, just stand up for yourself. Sounded fucked up. And he did. And then they stopped fucking with him because he could defend himself. I mean, he's a fucking unit.
He looks like a unit. Doesn't look small.
Yeah. And then he kind of joined them. He said in the other interview, he didn't really join them so much as they stopped fucking with him and then
there was a mutual respect.
There was some kind of mutually beneficial agreement.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy, man. He's been in Oz alone. We bonded over Oz back in the day. That was like one of the, I had the whole thing on DVD. I think you were the only other person I knew that watched it. So we used to talk about that. It was a heavy show. I don't think I can watch that again.
It was heavy. That's why I love SBS. They just like, you know, you could never see another network putting that on.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that was the first HBO show as well. I think it was before Sopranos. So that was like, it was a real breakthrough. I think I could be wrong about that.
Hey.
Fuck, that was heavy, man.
It was, wasn't it?
So heavy. Oh, man.
Speaking of heavy, what do you know about the French Foreign Legion?
Not much. Apparently they created Legionnaire's disease, perhaps.
I think they must have. There's no – did they create those hats, the Legionnaire cap with a little flap at the back?
Yeah. Actually, that was a crest, that was a request from our friend of the show, Ben King, when he shared the review with us. He said, kind of want to hear Greg go on a rant about those stupid Legionnaire hats from school, though. And he – because they're like the school hats. They're like with the flap at the back, no hat, no play.
They were the worst possible hat.
They were the dorkiest hats, and now they're, I guess they're ironically cool.
I had I went on a bit of a bender up in Byron in my youth, and it was a hot day the next day, and I walked into a hat shop and procured a Legionnaire's hat, which I sported for the rest of the trip.
You didn't accidentally join the Legionnaires, did you?
Well, I could have, because the next decade or so was a bit of a blur.
Tell us more about the Legionnaires.
Yeah, I remember hearing about them in my 20s. Must have been about the same time I was wanting to join the army, but I was like, oh, this could be an option.
I had that too. I had that same instinct.
I just didn't realize I didn't really have anything to run from. There was a 60 Minutes special on a couple of the Aussies that were in the Foreign Legion. I couldn't find it today for the purpose of our show, unfortunately. But I didn't look very long. But I did Google Legionnaires 60 Minutes. And it doesn't come up. But, yeah, there's a few Aussies in there. And I think typically because of the process of when you get in, which is you basically – they give you a declared identity. So they give you a new name, a new place of birth, new parents' names.
Like McLovin.
I think they choose it. That'd be more like a Royale with cheese, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because I didn't go into Burger King, but the French Foreign Legion, as the name suggests, is primarily made up of non-French people. It was so others could join and help French interests in war.
So this is how little I knew about it. In watching the movie, I was like, oh, they're all from different places. I thought
it's French.
It's a French thing. But yeah, then reading up, we've got all these foreigners they're more disposable than French citizens. Mm. So let's get them out there front line.
Yeah. I think there's quite a few French guys that join now and they just give them a new nationality. They go, okay, you're Canadian.
I saw that because I was watching like Polish. A doco thing on it and they were given the 101 on what it is. Some of it sunk in, most of it didn't. But they did say like French citizens can't join, but then a guy in the comments was like, my grandfather's a French citizen, you can.
Yeah.
You just lie.
They just give you a new name. They give me a new name anyway. There's about 8,000 recruits a year and about 1,000 get through. So they get the numbers are reasonably healthy.
Yeah, right.
And there's about 120 nationalities.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's fascinating.
That's a lot. I couldn't name 120 countries, I don't think.
No, I could name maybe 8. It's interesting because it's interesting that it still exists. B, the whole premise is fascinating and a bit like the war you described earlier. Fascinating. Yet this film.
It dodges
the fascination.
There's an interesting bit. Oh, let's veer left.
Any interesting nuggets about these guys?
The French Foreign Legion. Well, it does seem it doesn't seem as prolific as it once was. They had they're set up all over the world. I think they're primarily based in France these days,
right?
So they're not out
parking tickets and stuff.
Yeah, I assume so. Wearing funny hats. which is good because you can spot them if you know your car's running out of parking time, you can see those hats coming, move your car or top up the meter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But no, I don't have too much on the Legion, other than that, it did seem, you know, a refuge for the damned somewhat. So a lot of people who are either on the run from the law or who, you know, kind of rock bottom and need to make a drastic change to escape something.
Yeah.
That seems to be the vibe.
Like that could – so it's a bit like the Night's Watch in Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking like, they did some pretty good stories around that, I think. Because, you know, they were a mix of criminals and
White Walkers. Whatnot.
Like you could have used more of a criminal in this, a criminal that, you know, that has values. Because they were all like overtly, I'm a good – you know, just – all the characters were pretty one-dimensional. Mm. But the one nugget I found that it's not even really – it's, you know, in an episode with minimal nuggets, maybe this is a nugget. But if after 3 years of service, you can get citizenship.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. And if you get injured, you can apply for citizenship. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. On the one hand, it feels kind of like exploitative – but on the other hand, it kind of feels like, well, I guess it's better than not having the option. People apply for it, right? It's not like you're forced into it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some people don't. Yeah, most people don't make it.
Yeah. Right.
1 in 8, as it pans out.
Make a good reality show.
Oh yeah, big time.
I'd be mad.
That'd be a great revenue stream for the Legion. The hat. Rev stream has died off a little bit.
Celebrity Legionnaires.
Oh, there you go.
That's a fucking good TV show story, by.
Wow.
Yeah.
And hadn't done any wows yet.
And they've got to change their name. Obviously. I didn't have anything else to add to that point.
I mean, we talked – okay, so fascination abounds with all of the sources of real-life inspo for this film – and it dodges it in the entire movie. So, Greg, I thought it might be a good opportunity to revisit our AI friend.
Call
her Siri. So I touched base with our friend of the show, our artificial intelligence bot, and asked her for some help in writing a better version of this film.
Yeah, here we go.
Here's what she had to say. First I asked, can you write a better version of Legionnaire? This is what she came up with.
In Legionnaire, Jean-Claude Van Damme stars as a former French foreign legionnaire who is recruited by the CIA to help track down a terrorist cell in North Africa. When the mission goes awry, Van Damme's character must use all of his skills to survive the desert and make it back to safety.
Immediately better. That's not bad. former French Legion, French Foreign Legion. That's not bad.
Yeah, because then you know he's got Legionnaire's skills.
Yeah, particular set of skills.
Mm.
Not bad, not bad. So then I asked, can you describe one of the big action scenes? She said,
in one of the big action scenes, Van Damme's character is being chased by a group of terrorists through the desert. He uses his knowledge of the terrain to stay one step ahead of them. But when they finally catch up to him, he is forced to fight them off. He defeats them all, but is seriously injured in the process.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe a bit of a punch up, but, you know, there's some action there, some action. But, you know, I thought a bit like last time, the AI was quite good at coming up with plot twists. So I did brief her also on coming up with a double plot twist.
Mm.
So she revised the synopsis.
Double in French.
Double. Double.
In Legionnaire, Jean-Claude Van Damme stars as a former French foreign legionnaire who is recruited by the CIA to help track down a terrorist cell in North Africa. When the mission goes awry, Van Damme's character must use all of his skills to survive the desert and make it back to safety.
But
just when he thinks he's safe, Van Damme's character is double-crossed by the CIA and left for dead in the desert. He must use all of his strength and training to make it back to safety and take his revenge on the people who betrayed him.
I dig that. That's not bad.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not bad. I mean, this is all very cliche stuff, but that's part of it. That's fun. You know, that's fun.
That's where we like that territory. We like the cliches.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You just got to lean into it and have fun with it. Mm. But I thought it was so good that, you know, that's maybe it's an Oscar contender. So I asked Siri, or whatever we call her, to write an Oscars acceptance speech for for Jason.
I want to thank the Academy for this award. It is a great honor, and I am truly humbled by it. I also want to thank my fans for their support. I would not be here without them. Finally, good. I want to say that this award is dedicated to all the people who have fought for their dreams. Never give up on your dreams, and never let anyone tell you that you can't achieve them. Thank you.
Look at that.
That's beautiful. I would like someone to use this tool for their actual Oscars acceptance speech and just troll everyone.
Yeah. It's something Norm Macdonald would do.
Mm.
You know how he did Bob Saget's roast? All the jokes were from some over-the-counter jokes to tell at someone's retirement party. And no one knew that. He's just up there telling them like they're his jokes and they were all terrible.
Yeah.
And he was enjoying every minute of it. It's so good.
I love it.
So I could see him doing that. I did also ask her because, you know, I tend to go down on tangents once I get that conversation going with the robots. I asked who would win in a fight, JC or Steven Seagal, and she said JC, so there you go.
Interesting.
The robots know.
Yeah.
I guess we should do the JCVD test, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll read out the plot synopsis. So as a refresher, Greg and I wrote this many years ago now, I suppose, and it is the plot synopsis that should work for any decent Jean-Claude Van Damme film, and it goes as follows. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays an American who wears high-waisted pleated pants in a foreign land on a quest to seek revenge for a fallen loved one at the hands of morally corrupt racial stereotypes. But he's about to find out training to fight his enemy means facing the enemies within and slowly doing the splits. He also gets his buns. So this one is, well, in some ways it's a bit of a departure, but I guess on a macro level it's kind of on track because, I mean, Fallen Love Ones, there's many.
Oh, so much love fall.
Yeah, foreign land, racial stereotypes, it's got all that too.
Yeah.
But we have less of the splits and pleated pants.
We get the buns, though.
Yeah, I missed the buns, but I guess they got that. So maybe it's not too far off. That's probably like a 3 out of 5 scenario. Many fallen loved ones, many racial stereotypes, some buns. He doesn't play an American. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I'm giving it a pass for me, for sure.
Yeah, I guess so. I was hoping that would be grounds for my dismissal of the film. But I guess it's not really. It adheres to a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Not enough kicking. Not nearly enough kicking.
Man, there's no kicking.
There's no kicking.
There's not even really any
fighting.
He doesn't do much. Yeah. And he's a boxer in the beginning. I guess we get a little bit of boxing. But that action is so bad. It's so choppy.
Mm.
You don't see any single move completed.
Yeah.
Whereas Knock Off was the same year and we were both praising how the action was so good in that.
Yeah, they went down the
Hong Kong route.
There
were some long takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, some wide shots. Like you saw the movements and everything. This was the
exact
opposite.
Again, this is Van Damme. You know, he's out there trying things, you know. He didn't want to be typecast. He's out trying things. And this was just him trying something that maybe was just a little bit too far from the core.
Yeah. I mean, and on paper, man, it's the Rambo 3 team. So, like, that's something. It's not nothing. Something.
Should we get into verdict?
Yeah, let's get into verdict.
I don't know what to say, really.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
I am the law.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I want to have them answered immediately.
You can't handle the truth.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you.
Nothing further,
Your Honor.
And that's all I have to say about that.
As much as it hurts to say this, I think this is a best left in the past for me.
Best left in the
20s. Not really a rewatch. I don't think I'll ever watch this again. I couldn't imagine putting this on.
No.
This would be the last one I would put on.
So far.
Out of any Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, yeah.
It's interesting because there's plenty of Rotten Tomato lower Van Damme scores than 30.
Yeah, Because I think, yeah, Knockoff was pretty low, and that had value. I liked that a bit. I liked that quite a bit, actually. Yeah, I don't know. Like on most Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, I can enjoy on one level or another. Like I was saying, either they're awesome and they're awesome, or they're bad and they're funny. And this one was just neither. Yeah, it's a shame. How about you?
Loved it. No, I didn't really love it. I can't see myself.
I feel like I didn't even ask you that until now, the whole episode. I didn't even ask you if you liked the movie. Sorry. Bad co-host.
It's a no. There's just not enough action.
Yeah.
I suspect him trying these different things, but it's just not my favorite Van Damme movie. Yeah, you can't love them all. Or can you? You can't love them all.
You can.
You can. Don't love this one. I'm going to leave it in the past. Where it belongs as the most expensive film ever to go straight for video, or at least at the time it was.
Was it? Fuck.
Yeah. Estimated 35 mil.
It probably technically still is. It's a whole different ballgame now though, because, you know, director streaming is not necessarily a
bad totally. Thing it's anymore. It's a whole different landscape.
Oh, new media.
Mm.
OTT.
Mm-hmm.
Cable cutters and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't get me started on the cable cutters. All right, cultural relevancy tests. This one is going to be quick. Did Simpsons do it? No. Porn parody? No. Bechdel test? No. FX test? Not bad.
Hmm. There was a lot of explosives. You can see where the money was going.
Yeah, yeah.
$1 million.
Expensive in parts.
$1 million. $3 million.
MVP... MVP. I actually was thinking, we didn't really talk about him that much, but I was thinking my MVP, Steven Berkoff, the mean man from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
He was pretty good.
Yeah, okay, I'll back you on that one. I didn't do one, so I'll just take that. No, I didn't do recasties.
No. There's a bit. Don't ever.
John Candy.
Don't ever remake a recast. Yeah, John Candy.
You kind of did the recasties when you put in the carrot.
Made it a comedy. True. Okay, he's in there. Carrot's in there. Candy. Carrot, Candy, and Van Vierenberg.
Candied carrots.
Beautiful.
Mm.
I know, that gives me an idea, Greg.
Mm.
Police cops.
It is time for breakfast here, and it's time for dinner there.
It's time for dinner. I got some Blue Ribbon fried chicken.
Oh, what's that?
That's a fried chicken joint around the corner. It's pretty good. You get the chicken, the pieces of the chicken.
Oh, and you stick them in the little roll? Is that what you're doing?
You stick them in there. Oh, I already got one of those. I already got that one. But you get wasabi honey. Whoa.
Wasabi honey. Damn.
Yeah, that's the sauce. It's fucking good, man.
Oh.
So good. Yeah. Oh. Hey, we're going to do Top Gun next week, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's topical and apparently the new one's fucking awesome. So I want to get primed. And then we may do another mini series after that of some sort. We'll see how we go.
Yeah.
Or we may just do a variety of stuff.
Reach out if you've got, do you prefer the mini series or do you prefer just, you know, ad hoc randomizers, the AI?
Let us know.
AI fair. You tell us.
Yeah.
We might listen.
You tell us. We might listen if we like it. If you tell us what we want to hear, we'll listen. Speaking of telling us what we want to hear, please leave a review.
They're helpful.
If you have a chance, it really helps us and we appreciate you. I guess until next week.
Go watch Top Gun.
What's
it on? Is it on Disney? Touchstone. Wasn't it a Touchstone movie, wasn't it?
I saw it on something here and I can't remember where. It was on Netflix here in the US.
Let me have a look. Hang on. Let me have a look. I know people like to hear this. Top Gun. It's on Netflix.
There you go.
Potentially.
Worldwide.
All right, well, take care of yourselves and each other.
Bye.